This morning we're coming to a message about Joshua, and right before he passes on, as he's considering the next generation. On this Father's Day, the Lord has challenged me and encouraged me with this passage, and I trust it'll be a blessing to all of us here, especially to those fathers, but also to those future fathers. So, we've been going through this series, A Firm Foundation, a series on the family. It's on relationships. It's dealing with how we interact with one another. We have been studying through seeing how love is displayed, how love should be displayed in our lives. As you see, Dr. Alan Griffith, he writes these words, the Greek word agape signifies the value placed on someone which determines the sacrifice you will make for them. The value you place upon someone will determine the degree to which you sacrifice for them. And so, it's important for us to understand what we place value on, that's what we sacrifice for. What we sacrifice for is what we're really showing that we value. So we're in the process, in the last few Sundays, we were in the process of considering how our love is to be displayed in faithfulness, and ultimately faithful stewardship. The question we started out looking to answer was, with regards to our faithfulness, the question is, can I be counted on? Can I be counted on? That's faithfulness. One who is faithful is one who can be counted on. Now when we bring that right into this, we are considering faithful stewardship. So, can I be counted on to do what God has called me to do? Last week we considered our love being displayed in supplication, prayer. When we consider James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, we consider that wonderful passage on prayer and how we are to be a humble, prayerful community, interacting with one another, humbly going before the throne of God, humbly sharing our requests with one another, praying fervently for one another, and seeing how God will answer prayer when we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face. So the question that we took that, can I be counted on, we extended it. We said, can I be counted on to pray for my brothers and sisters? Can I be faithful in prayer for you and you be faithful for me? Can I count on you to pray for me? Can you count on each other to pray for each other? Can you count on me to pray for you? Today, we continue this idea of faithful stewardship. But now in our role of setting an example in serving the Lord, if you will, leading others. Love is displayed in leadership. So the question that we ask is, can I be counted on to set a faithful example of serving the Lord? Can I be counted on to faithfully set an example, to set a faithful example of serving the Lord? Leading the way by setting a godly example takes sacrifice, doesn't it? It's an act of the will and displays agape as you are placing great value upon God's way, God's Word, obedience to God. So just by way of introduction, I'd like to take us down a path. We're going to look at, just going to ask a few questions here, and then we're going to take a few moments and pray, and we'll continue on. Truth be told, we live in uncertain times. Political, social, moral, and you name it, there's uncertainty. Economic uncertainty. The days that lay before us are filled with questions. What will the next 5, 10, 15 years hold? What will tomorrow hold? What will take place next year? What will we see take place in our lifetime? What will our children have to go through in the future that lays before them? how can we prepare for the unknowns of tomorrow? How can we do that? How can we lead the way in preparing for the unknowns of tomorrow? Consider Matthew chapter 6, 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. As I just took you into considering tomorrow, I want to draw you back from considering tomorrow by saying tomorrow will come. But the way we deal with tomorrow is by living today. God's Word says so. So the question, so what do I do then? How do I prepare for the unknowns of tomorrow? The answer is serve the Lord today. Every day that is called today, serve the Lord. Let's take a few moments and prepare our hearts. What I want to ask you to do right now, I want to ask that each of us take our hearts before the Lord. And be prepared to receive what God has for you today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you will take your heart in your hand and lift it up to the Lord and say, Lord, here is my heart. Before the message hardly even begins, Lord, I don't know what you're going to say to me. But Lord, I want to hear. And I don't just want to hear what you say, I want to do what you say. Our Lord, show me areas of my life that I need to surrender to you right now so that I'll be ready to listen, I'll be sensitive to your leading. Because Lord, I want to do what you're calling me to do today. Help me, Lord. So Lord, with my heart in my hands, lifted up to you, I'm not in control of it. You are, Lord. You are on the throne. I give you my life, Lord, and I'm offering it to you to show me what you want me to do. You should take yourself before the Lord right now. Whatever He says to you, will you do? You humble your heart before the Lord. Lord, I thank you for each one that is here today. I ask that you give great wisdom. I ask that you move boldly in our hearts. I ask that you move us, transform us, change us, lead us in your way, in your truth. Guide us, O Lord. May we respond in a way that would bring much honor and glory to you. May we respond by being in awe of who you are. Lord, bring forth your word. Give us understanding. May we be changed. I thank you and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction, we've asked questions about the future. We've drawn us back to living for today, serving God today. Let's consider a few questions that will help us in approaching this Father's Day message. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it's in your notes there. God says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." We want to consider Ezekiel really quickly here. He lived in a time of great uncertainty. Corruption filled all aspects of society. From the political to the priestly, from the white collar to the blue collar, there was no one found to stand as a reformer or intercessor for God to lead the nation back from the brink of disaster, ultimately from God's judgment. The future looked grim. And that is what God says these words in the context. God says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." In Ezekiel's time, God found no one to stand in the gap, no one to stand in the weakest point of the moral wall resisting evil. When God looks down upon this nation, what does He see? Consider Isaiah's challenge. Isaiah chapter 6. Consider Isaiah as he lived in a time of moral and spiritual decay. Isaiah was called upon to take the message warning of God's coming judgment and punishment. One very special account in Isaiah 6. We want to turn there. Isaiah chapter 6. We read these powerful words. We see Isaiah's vision as he stands in the very presence of God. This vision that he had. He is confronted with God's infinite holiness. As the angels, the seraphims cry out, they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." As he's confronted with God's infinite holiness, he's confronted with his own wretchedness. Against the backdrop of a thrice holy God, even Isaiah's most minute sin caused him to be unfit, undeserving to be able to stand in the Lord's presence. He cries out in verse 5, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Woe is me." In great humility, he bows in worship. He bows in worship. The more he sees God high and lifted up, the more he bows humbly in worship. That should be the case for all of us. He realized that because of his own sin, he is deserving of judgment. That's why he pronounces woe upon himself. Woe is me. After being cleansed by God, he now was ready to hear from God directly. In verse 8, "And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah says, Here am I, Lord. Send me." We come to your challenge, my challenge. 2 Chronicles 7:14. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we read of God accepting Solomon's temple. When it comes to verse 14, we see the conditions set forth for God's blessing. Consider what it says there at the bottom of page 1 in your outline. You see, God Himself says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If my people, God's family, God's children, which are called by my name, as Christians, we are called by the name of Jesus Christ. If we would humble ourselves, submit to God, and pray, make supplication, intercede, come before God as a beggar, "Lord, I need You. Woe is me, for I'm undone. Turn from their wicked ways, the sinful ways that we often engage in." God says, "Then I will hear from heaven." When He says, "I will hear from heaven," He's saying, "I will hear with the intent to do something." He will listen to what we say, desiring to respond to our prayer, answer prayer. That's what He's saying. So men, fathers, would you stand? Every father, please stand with me. I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm not asking for an answer right now. But I'm going to ask you some questions that I'm asking myself as well. And throughout the message, I want to challenge all of us to be prepared to answer the questions. Future fathers, please stand. Every man in here, please stand with us. The challenge is for you as well, because this is about leadership. It's about leadership. How will you lead today where you are at? Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. God says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." As God looks upon your life, does He see a man who is willing to stand in the weakest point of the moral wall, preventing the decay, evil to just come rushing through? Think about it. Not asking for an answer yet. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. God says to Isaiah, and He says to you and to me, He's saying these words, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" The questions that I have for you guys and for me, and for each lady that is sitting here as well, you're not out of the woods. For every single one of us, will you be that man to stand in the gap? Don't answer me yet. Will you be that man to go? You may be seated. With these questions in mind, let's consider our own sphere of influence. What is your sphere of influence? God has placed each of us in an environment to live and serve. God has placed each one of us in an environment to live and serve. Ladies, just because this is Father's Day doesn't mean you guys are off the hook. You are a part of this process. And you are called upon to lead and serve in your sphere of influence. Setting a godly example of serving Him. So you too, be prepared to give an answer. Joshua chapter 24, if you turn there with me. Joshua 24, we see Joshua's swan song, if you will, his final words before he steps into glory. I really pray that you would strongly consider and prayerfully consider taking part in answering the questions and preparing yourself for these messages. So the more you prepare for the message, the more you're going to get out of the message. Let us be preparing. That's why I'm giving out these questions for next Sunday. Be ready to receive what God has for you. So the question for you and me, again, is, can I be counted on to set a faithful example of serving the Lord? Can God count on you and me to set a faithful example of serving God? That's leading. We all have a sphere of influence. Consider, as you see there, Roman numeral 2, we see the beginning 13 verses of Joshua chapter 24. Here we see Joshua's rehearsal of God's faithfulness. Joshua's rehearsal of God's faithfulness. In these verses, Joshua speaks on God's behalf. He says, "Thus saith the Lord." He is rehearsing to the nation, reminding them of God's continued faithfulness. This is what God has done for you. This is what He did. He brought you over the Red Sea. He provided for you in this way, in this way, in this way. Joshua had just gone through and reminded them of what God has done, how God has been faithful to them. Throughout the book of Joshua, you want to see a great picture of victory in the Christian life. The book of Joshua is your book. The pictures are vibrant. As you see the Jerichos of our lives that need to be destroyed, those imaginations that need to be cast down and utterly destroyed, the foundations turned up, those foundations of pride, those fortresses of pride that are in our lives that are keeping us from having victory in the promised land, in the land of blessing in the Christian life. But Joshua has been reminding the nation of Israel over and over again, set up stones here. Set up stones here. When they cross the Jordan River, there's stones in the Jordan River. There's stones outside of the Jordan River. Why? As a reminder of God's faithfulness. What did God do? Look back on what did God do. And here, at the end of the chapter, we'll see that He sets up another stone to remind them this stone is a witness about what we just discussed here. The commitment that you have made to the challenge that Joshua gives to them. And so, It's a great principle for us to follow through, a great practice for us in our lives. Because too often times we forget what God has done. And we forget how faithful He has been to us. And as a result, we get weak in our faith and we struggle. Joshua's reminding them, Joshua's ready to die. He is their leader. He's been their leader. He's been their leader for about 30 years now. He's about to go and stand in the presence of God. Who is going to follow and lead the people? His eye is on the next generation. This message today, our eye should be on the next generation. Because how I faithfully set an example of serving God is going to impact the next generation. Fathers, the godly example, the example that you set, godly or not, is influencing your children. Is it faithful? Is it godly? We can be faithful and be an ungodly. Let's be faithful in setting a godly example of serving God. We all have a sphere of influence. Consider the next generation. Because if we want this, if we want faithfulness in the church to continue, it has to continue into the next generation and into the next generation. But we are the ones that need to stand in the gap. Now, we don't stand in the gap. We don't plug the hole. What happens? Moral decay comes rushing in as it erodes the moral wall of society. We're seeing it happen. Not enough are standing in the gap. Will you be the one to stand in the gap? That's a challenge for all of us here today. Consider Roman numeral 3, Joshua's reminder to fear the Lord. Verse 14, Joshua says these words, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Now therefore, he says, because of this testimony, because of this rehearsal of God's faithfulness, as we remember what God has done, what should be our natural response? Wow! Awe of God. Now therefore, based upon what I just told you, fear God, be in awe of God. Look at what He has done. Rest in Him. Trust in Him. His infinite power, His goodness, His sovereignty, His righteousness, His holiness, His being more than enough for you. He has proven it to you, has He not? That's what Joshua's saying. And I say to you, has God ever failed you? Has God been faithful to you? God does not change. If He has been faithful to you in the past, He will not be unfaithful to you in the present or in the future. Rest in it. Bank on it. Know it to be true. And let it give you an awe of God that captivates your heart, that you want to do nothing but serve Him. And as you serve Him, it will impact the souls around you. Now therefore, fear God. Fear the Lord. Humble worship should be seen as well as a healthy fear of offending Him. As we are in awe of God, we're going to reverence Him to the degree, I don't want to sin against Him. A righteous fear of God will keep us from sin. Do you realize that? Your awe of God will help to keep you from sin. Keep that in mind. Consider letter A there. We are to fear the Lord. Joshua reminds the people, fear the Lord in service. In service. Joshua reminds the people, Lord, serve Him. Serve the Lord. Their fear of Him should result in serving Him. He calls for them to serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. Be wholehearted in serving the Lord with an upright heart. Joshua ends his command by calling for a wholehearted devotion to the Lord. Serve the Lord with full obedience. That's rooted in your love for Him. That's what we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And as a result, we obey by loving our neighbor as ourself. That's what God's calling us to. Serve Him based upon your awe of Him. Your vertical relationship with God dictates your service toward others and the degree to which you will sacrifice for others. The degree to which you are sacrificing for others is revealing the degree to which you are in awe of God. That switches gears a little bit. How much are you sacrificing for others? If it's negligible, then know this. You are not in awe of God. You are in awe of you. Joshua 22, verse 5, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to keep His commandments, and cleave unto Him and serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. John 14, 15, if you love me, what does God want us to do? Display our love by obeying. Do you love Him? The degree to which you are sacrificing for Him is revealing your love for God. Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. We are to serve God. Do you realize? See, oftentimes we look at life and say, oh man, I have to serve. What? I got to serve? You got to be kidding me. I don't like that. All of me. Do you realize serving God is a privilege? You get to serve God. You are privileged to be able to serve God. How is it that you get to serve God? Only because Jesus came and died upon my cross bearing my sin. He provided the way of redemption, restoring me, seeking to restore me into that likeness of Himself. As I place my faith and trust in Him, I'm trusting alone for His salvation. But it's only because of what He did that I get to serve. Do you realize that? That's the truth of the matter. Be in awe of what God has done for you. We need to serve Him. In service, serve Him. In separation, put away your gods, we see. Joshua says, Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods that your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now you say, Pastor, I don't have any idols. I would ask you, what is the degree to which you're sacrificing for others? If it's minimal, if it's not vibrant, guess what? Your idol is you. Your idol of the heart is whatever it is that you think is going to bring you pleasure. You're seeking glory for yourself. You have plenty of idols. Joshua says, put it away. Put away as far, it means to put it away as far as you can from you. Be far away from the gods that I, the Lord, saved you from. God has saved you from yourself. Get as far away from your flesh as you possibly can. Don't give in to it. Joshua 23, verse 7, he says that ye come not among the nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow down thyself to them. The nation of Israel had come into the promised land and did not obey fully what God had said to eradicate every single soul, the pagan soul that was left in the land. And as a result, they turned to idolatrous ways because they did not do what Joshua said. Stay as far away from these gods as possible. You know what we often do in life? I can handle it. Oh, that? Yeah. You know, you other people might be too weak to handle this, but oh, I got it. Really? There are so many things we bring into our lives and we say, I can handle it. We justify sin. We justify being around sin. Instead of pulling the fence back as far as we can from that sin, we go right up to the edge. And here, I'm not stepping over. Remember a dog that Mama and Papa had, and she was taught to stay out of the kitchen. Her name was Molly. And she would just get down, and she'd be like this. Sorry, some of you can't see. If you want to stand up. And she would be there, and she would just be doing this. I remember vividly. And she would be bringing her feet, her paws up there, and she would rest like this and cross them. And then she'd look at you as if she was smiling, all cute and everything, disobeying. Disobeying. And she knew it. Don't you and I do the same thing? And we think we're all cute and woo. Does God think we're cute? We get right up to the edge. We get right up to the edge and we wag our little tail and we bat our eyes and it says, oh, I'm so cute though. No, you're not cute. You're vile, wicked, wretched soul that you would disobey the direct order of God. And that's how we live our lives as Christians. God's saying, separate from them. Don't come close to it. Fathers, what kind of an example are you setting for your children? Do they see in you a justification of sin? Do my children see in me the justification of sin? I get right up to the edge as if I'm cute. I'm not cute. Men, future fathers, men, where do you stand? Do you get so close to sin that you can almost smell it and think that you're good enough to not give in to the temptation? You're not. Men, it's up to you and to me. As we serve God, this is something we need to become passionate about. What are you going to do from this day forward? Are you going to stand and serve God? Because not only your families do they need you, this church needs you to stand serving God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And this country needs you to stand. And ladies, you're not out of the park here. You need to stand in the gap. Where are you going to stand? What will you do with the message of God's Word? What will you do with the sphere of influence that God has placed you in? Stop justifying sin. Stop looking cute as if disobedience is ever cute. We must stand. Separate. Put away the gods. James says it pretty harshly. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity in God, with God? He says, whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. We often as Christians commit spiritual adultery. God is the one to whom we are wedded to, is He not? We are the bride of Christ. How dare we look elsewhere? But often we do. Because we allow the idols of our heart to pursue me. because I'm in awe of me. And as long as I do that, I'm not serving anybody but me. Please understand. Please understand. Verse 15, we see Joshua's request for a decision. He's saying, this is the case. This is what I want you to do. This is where you are to be. Fear God. Serve God. Separate from idols. Now the request is, time to make a decision. Time to make a decision. We see first Joshua's call. He says, choose. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You make the call. You make the call. He says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose who you will serve. Keep in mind, Joshua's not suggesting that if the people choose the worship of false gods, that the true God is going to be accepting of their worship. Well, just because you're sincere in worshiping Baal, okay, you know what? Your sincerity wins out. Does God do that? Is that what Joshua's saying? No, he's like, you make a choice. Who are you going to serve? And you serve them. Will you put your whole heart in it? You serve. You serve. Choose who you're going to serve. Men, who are you going to serve? Are you going to continue, as many of us do oftentimes, serving yourself? Being the king of your home? Serve me? Young men, if you see that example at home, that's not the right example. You're called to servant leadership. You are to lead by example by serving others. Joshua is speaking with the urgency of a dying man. Joshua calls for the people to choose. Make a decision. The choice is, there's only two. You're either going to be serving God or you're going to be serving idols. You're either going to be serving God or you're going to be serving yourself. Those are the only two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing myself. That's it. Great quote from Ken Collier. Awesome. That's what it comes down to. That's it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We looked at this verse. Love displayed in surrender. The reality is, the one that you are serving shows the one that you are hating. So if you are serving yourself more, you're showing that you're hating God. You will hold to one, you will love one, you will despise the other, you will hate the other. Which one are you showing that you're serving? As you take your heart before God, as I take my heart before God, who are you showing? Who am I showing that I'm serving? Am I serving me? Am I serving God? When I'm serving me, I'm showing a hatred for God. I don't like Him. So I think I need to be served more. I'm more important. Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Whoever you yield yourself and give way, you give way to the flesh, you're serving the flesh, you're loving yourself, you're serving yourself. You yield to the Spirit, you're serving God. Today, tomorrow, the next day, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? The choice of serving God is wholehearted devotion, serving Him in obedience and worship. It would mean love, devotion, as you fix your heart upon Him, obeying Him because you want to, not because you have to. See, this call to service is not out of duty, it's out of devotion. Because I get to serve God. You will utterly and miserably fail in this Christian life if you are doing your service out of duty. I have to. I have to go to church. I have to read my Bible. Pastor says I have to pray for others. I have to tell people about my sins. I have to. I have to. I have to. I have to. There's no love there. So many religions of this world are riddled with duty-driven worship. And unfortunately, it has crept its way into the church, and we have opened the floodgates. In American Christianity, we have opened the floodgates to encouraging duty-filled worship, which is merely religion of self. It's self-worship. Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Crave, worship, serve Him first. Choose God. Love Him exclusively, wholeheartedly, independently. He alone is worthy of our worship. To serve, the choice of serving idols consists of many different manifestations. The gods of the land were Baal, Moloch, the sun and moon, gods amongst many others. Ultimately, each one was a disguise for self-worship. Do we not do the same thing? Many times. Many churches are filled with entertainment-driven worship. That's nothing more than self-worship. I go there to feel good. In the name of worship. That's not worshiping God. That doesn't bring Him glory. Are there some people that may genuinely be going there seeking to worship God and are accomplishing not their own pleasure but the glory of God? I don't doubt it. But predominantly, the whole reason, the whole mindset of this modern day entertainment-driven worship is to make you feel worship. You don't feel worship. You do worship out of a heart of worship, a heart of awe for God. It overflows you, and you just respond by worshiping Him. In what ways? In every way that you live your life. Worship isn't just singing. I don't believe in worship music. I believe I worship in music as a means of worship. But I worship in prayer. I worship in giving. I worship in serving. I worship in doing my devotions. I worship in listening to a message. I worship in preaching a message. I worship in counseling. I worship in being a father and a husband. All the ways in which I'm called to live my life, I'm called to worship my God. It's not just something I do when the rock band's rocking out on Sunday. Is it? Or that preacher, he's just hitting it right on and it makes me feel so good. It's not what it's about. Stop self-serving. Let's stop self-serving. Call to choose. His claim, very simply, says we're going to serve God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Fathers, are you ready to echo Joshua's words? I'm not going to force anybody to do anything because when there comes a time, I'll give every single one here an opportunity to respond. I want you to respond as a commitment to God that you are going to do. You're committed to Him. Not half-hearted. Because God is convicting you that this is what you are called to do. Are you going to serve Him? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I will stand in the gap. Who will I send? Who will go for me? Lord, I will go. I will live today for the glory of God. And every day that is called today, I'm going to live that day for God, not for me. I'm going to pursue Him today. And I'm going to pursue Him. It's not going to say I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to mess up and serve myself every once in a while. But predominantly, I want my life to be characterized by serving my God. Fathers, are you willing to take a stand? Has God convicted you of what you need to do? It's before you and Him. But I will give you an opportunity. I will give everyone an opportunity here to make a public commitment. This is what I choose to do. Understand. This is just as Joshua, he takes them. You see Israel's response in verses 16 through 18. They respond with confidence and certainty, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve the other gods. They respond with determination and devotion in verse 18. And the Lord drave out from before us, they say, all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. They're responding in confidence and certainty. They're responding in determination and devotion. Yes, we will serve Him. Notice what Joshua's... He makes a request for a calculated decision in verses 19 and 20 with candor. He says, you cannot serve the Lord. Verse 19, he says, Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. He's saying that you can't ultimately serve the Lord with your images. Serve Him with yourself. He's saying, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. When it's saying He's a jealous God, that means He wants all of your worship. He wants all of you. Not some of you. All of you. Are you willing to give Him all of you? Are you willing to devote all of you to God? Are you willing to make that commitment? His caution... If ye forsake the Lord, verse 20. For if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. Think of the good that God has done for us. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, the mercies of God, the greatest mercy of God is the cross. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be in awe of your God because of the mercies that He has done. The good that He has done to you and to me. Joshua is saying, you commit yourself and then turn on God, you will not receive blessing. You will receive judgment. Joshua sets up a rock as a witness. The challenge that the Lord has been laying on my heart for some time now is that we are called to be a humble, prayerful, faithful, serving community. That community that we call our church family is a community of accountability. You commit yourself before one another. I will stand in the gap. And when you say, I will stand in the gap, you're saying, would you hold me accountable? Would you hold me accountable? Because that's what a humble, prayerful, faithful, serving community does. Are you willing to commit? Are you willing to commit? Israel responded in verse 31. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. They responded. They committed themselves to serving God. And it lasted one more generation. It lasted one more generation afterwards. And then they turned to their idolatrous ways. Are you willing to stand and serve God in this generation with the mindset on next generation? And you're going to do everything you can to help that next generation by how you live your life. Are you willing to make a commitment? Are you willing to stand and respond? As God says, I didn't find any But you say, Lord, I'll stand in the gap. I will serve you. I know there's going to be times I fail. And Lord, forgive me when I fail. But help me to see when I start justifying sin and going my way. Lord, help me. I want to do what is right. I want to stand in the gap. I want to, here I am, Lord, serve, send me. I want to serve you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because I'm going to lead my house in serving the Lord by God's grace. See, this commitment is not self-sustaining. It's not self-strength. It's not dependent upon yourself. Because this is a commitment to serve God, being in fear of Him, in awe of Him. It's having a love directed to God. God is captivating my heart, and I know that what He is calling me to, with His help, I can do this. It's only by His grace, as I daily humble myself before Him, as I daily submit myself to Him, as I daily rely upon God's grace to help me today, and then tomorrow when it's today, and when the next day is today, I will serve Him. I will serve Him. I will serve Him. He is my mission. He is my motive. And I will do whatever means necessary in obedience to follow Him. Consider Joshua's epitaph. Verse 29 simply says, he was a servant of the Lord. What do you want written on your tombstone? What a great message about that. Joshua's, if he had a tombstone, you could see written on it, he was a servant of God. What will your tombstone say? Not what you have put on it, but what will the character of your life say written on your tombstone? The testimony of your life. Here we are. I trust the Lord has spoken to your heart. So I'll bow our heads, close our eyes. As you once again take your heart before the Lord, as you once again take your heart, as you lift it to the Lord, you say, Lord, here I am. Lord, this challenge is great conviction upon me. I need your help. You may say, Lord, I'm struggling. I know what you're calling me to do, but I'm struggling. What's this going to entail? What's this going to mean? What changes are going to have to take place in my life? Willing to take your heart before the Lord and say, Lord, even though I struggle with what may happen, I'm willing to follow you. I will follow you, my Savior, wherever the path may go. Are you willing to go through whatever God has called you to go through because He's going to give you the grace to go through it? Are you willing to commit yourself to the Lord? Men, would you stand? And if the Lord's leading you to make a commitment, come up and join me. If God has spoken to your heart and you want to take action, front of all that are here and say, Lord, I will commit to serving you. Would you join me? I am here. So I'll kneel down. There's plenty of room. Come on up. This doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you're going to fail. That you're not going to fail. But it means that you are going to trust God today and live today for Him. Lord, I want to lift up each one of these here, these men that have come forward. Lord, I pray that You would move mightily in these hearts as You challenge them, as You encourage them, as You give them the strength to do what You call them to do. Lord, move in us and transform us, change us. Lord, may we honor You as we serve You. Thank You, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we turn to your seats? Thank you. Ladies, where do you stand? Has the Lord spoken to your heart? Will you take a step of faith? Will you commend yourself to serving your God with His help? Will you? A challenge is to all of us. God wants you. Let's close in prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, the uncertainty still exists. The challenges of the future still exist. What will happen? I don't know. Lord, we thank You that You are on the throne. You are King. Lord, as each one is here today, all of us, I pray, I trust and pray are under some aspect of conviction in our lives. The idols of our hearts, the serving self too frequently. The degree of sacrifice that we make, revealing the all that we have of You, or lack thereof. Lord, I trust that You are ministering to each one here this morning. What changes need to take place in our lives, Lord? What needs to happen today? So, Lord, I ask that You would move in each one of us here this morning. Lord, You know each and every heart. You know the heart of every man that came up, and You know where they stand. You know the genuineness of it. You know the genuineness of those men who didn't come up, and Lord, only You know, and that's fine. Lord, You know the hearts of each lady that is here today, and You know where they stand. Lord, are we going to commit ourselves to You, to serve You? Would You help us? We know that the answer is yes. Lord, we know that You will help. Guide us, I pray. Help us to honor You. Help us to honor You in the commitments that we make. Help us to yield ourselves to You, throwing ourselves upon You. For when I am weak, then I am strong as I rely upon the strength of You, my Almighty God. Help us, keep us humble before You each day. I commit these things to You and pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.